Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 219 for April 1st, 2019. If you have not had a chance to look at today's report yet, this is number 288, and we will, and you should be seeing it on your screen while I'm talking. If you have not had a chance to download it yet or take a look at it yet, you can go to timingresearch.com/reports and get access to either the web or PDF version. We're broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and I have Simon Klein here to moderate for the first time. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Simon.
Thank you, David. Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's great to moderate this show. It's a great show. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through and ask everybody to introduce themselves and talk a bit about their site and how they came to trading. So let's start with Mark Sachs from rightlinetrading.com. So over to you, Mark.
Hi, thank you, Simon. You know, at Rightline Trading, what we believe is, you know, all our indicators. And what I would like to do is just share the screen really quickly.
Sure.
I want to show you the e-mini for the day, if I can figure out how to do it here. Oh, here it is. Share screen. And it's right here. Can you see that?
Yeah. Yeah, your screen's showing up now.
Okay. And, you know, everything we do is determined on a multi-time frame basis. We look at order flow. We look at a multi-time frame assessment of the year. We look at the multi-time frame trend. The candles are halo by looking at a multi-time frame. Today, there really wasn't much to trade on the E-mini, at least on a daily basis. And I'll just quickly show you the NQ. The NQ2 was very, very tough to trade.
Hey, Mark. Mark. Yeah, we just need a quick bio from you right now. We'll get to the markets in a few minutes, but just a quick statement.
I'm so sorry. Okay, I apologize. Okay, you know, I did my undergraduate and my graduate work at the University of Pennsylvania. A degree in finance, and I published about 15 peer-reviewed articles. They can be Googled at SachsMK. And really, my area of expertise is the optimization of closed systems. And we consider each financial market to be a closed system. And what we do is we look for the independent variables that determine the future movement of price, put them into a multivariable equation and optimize that equation. And that's the basis for our software and a little bit about my background. And sorry about putting those charts up.
Oh, that's fine. That's great. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Thanks a lot, Mark. And let's go over to Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com.
Sure. Optionprofessor.com, I'm the content creator and provider. And basically, every Friday, we have a podcast that goes over a market update on all the different markets from stocks, bonds, and of course, the dollar and gold and oil. And then, of course, for people who have questions, we have an email that people can shoot questions to us on any of their specific problems that they might be dealing with. And I've been doing seminars for many, many decades here. So basically, I've educated thousands of people around the country at the hundreds of seminars that I've done. And we continue to educate them each and every week at the podcast.
Thank you, Mark. So let me just share my screen and you can a little bit about me. So again, I started off TradeSmart on the website TradeSmartForex.com a number of years ago with the view to helping traders go from beginner to professional trader. And you can read about me over here. I started my professional life working at Credit Suisse in both London and New York after graduating with a computer science degree. And recently I was just a speaker at the Traders Expo in New York. I'll just show you guys a quick picture of me there speaking. Okay, so let's take that off now. And what we're going to do now is go over to the S&P 500. And we're going to go to the first question, which is, which direction do you think the S&P 500 index will move from this coming Monday's open to Friday's close? And then what I'd like you to do is rate your confidence in your answer to question two by estimating the probability you have correctly predicted this week's market move, as in, and then the next question is we'll go into the reasons why. So firstly, let's start with you, Mark.
Okay, I just had to step out for 1 second, but we're looking at the E-mini, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, what I would like to do is share my chart and just kind of squeeze it. Just like this. And show that what I see for the E-mini from a technical standpoint is that it's making a series right here of sequential lower highs and sequential higher highs. And it's pretty much doing the same thing again. Sequential higher lows and sequential higher highs. And I think no matter what you think of the fundamentals, the technicals, and you can see a continued move to the upside. And looking at all the information, I saw this morning that that China's measure of industrial growth exceeded 50 for the first time in a while, which shows that the Chinese economy is now growing. There's a lot of indecision, though. There's indecision regarding the trade deal with China. There's indecision with Brexit. I think it's caused a lot of intraday volatility that I see in the live trading world, all day. But but the overall trend I see on the E-mini, both very strongly from a technical standpoint, is that we're gonna be moving up over the course of the next week. And you can see these moves up are made strongly in the direction of order flow, which is a measure of buying and selling pressure, the market delta. It's made with a multi-time frame direction. Our multi-time frame gear is pointing us to the upside. So from everything that I see, I would say that the market is going to be heading up over the course of this week.
Mark, what percentage would you rate that?
I would give it a 75% chance. I mean, I think this is a strong. This is going to be a strong upside week for the E-mini. I'm very bullish this week on the E-mini. Over the very long term, I'm not. But over this week, I'm bullish on the E-mini. I think we're going to get continued move through to the upside.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mark. Jim, let's go over to you.
Yeah, the momentum is clearly to the upside. So at this point, it does look like up is a better bet than down, especially with the manufacturing index, ISM, coming out with an up number today, which got people obviously pretty excited. The only caveat is obviously there's a gap underneath us, and in the short run, we might be getting a little frothy, and this neighborhood around 2865 could be a little bit problematic, particularly with durable goods coming out tomorrow, and it's supposed to be a down number to go along with the retail sales number, which was down today. So I would say that it's only a 55% chance, because we've already come up so far today, that we're going to build on these with the unemployment report, the durable goods coming out, and also the retail sales that wasn't that good this morning either. And consumers are 2/3 of economic activity. So we may have come a little bit too fast, too far, but you can't fight the tape. And I would say 55% probability that things will continue up. Again, a little cautious because of the gap up and the stuff I just mentioned.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. So I guess this is why I say what I think is going to happen. So I think the probability, I think, again, also higher, no controversy there. And I would give it around about 70%. And I'll go into the reasons why in the next round. So let's go through again through Mark and Jim. And we'll go back to you, Mark, and you can show your charts and explain why you think there's a 75% chance of the market moving higher. I know you're explaining.
Okay, hopefully I'm projecting my chart right now.
Yeah, we can see it.
I think just from a technical standpoint, the gap is right here on a gap up, but I mean we're looking at a series of sequential higher lows and sequential higher highs. We had the gap up, and obviously the potential to try to fill that gap. But what we've done is just continue to make an ongoing series of higher lows and higher highs. And as somebody else mentioned, you just really can't fight the tape here. Our momentum assessment is the Laguerre, and it's telling us that momentum is heading to the upside. order flow is telling us we're heading to the upside. The multi-time frame assessment of trend is telling us we're heading to the upside. All of those assessments are multi-time frame assessments. So based on that, you know, I would predict 70 to 75% that you know, we're going to move higher. I agree that the market really seems like it's overbought, but again, this is a, you know, it's like you can't stand in front of a freight train, and if you're going to take a position this week, I think you have to take a long one.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Let's go over to you, Jim.
And yeah, no, I don't have any screen because you have the chart up there anyway. So just keep the chart up there and I'll give you a little rundown on how I'm seeing it.
My chart if you want.
No, it's okay. Because people have already seen it, right? There they go. Okay. So basically on the S&P, you know, you obviously have had a difficulty on the positive side of the ledger, because there's always two sides to every coin, right? On the positive side, you've got seasonality, where this month of April is pretty much the last month on the positive seasonality chart that people look at, the month of April, you know, the sell in May and go away. So that, from that standpoint, that's a tailwind. The ISM number improving is a tailwind, and the China numbers improving is a tailwind. We've had an inability to sustain any kind of decline lately. And the technical picture, the 50-day average and the 200-day average are both converging at 2755 area. So it's very possible they start crossing, and technicians who look at that stuff will find that comforting. And then, of course, the VIX is in the 13 to 14 range, which is when the market is generally in a positive mode. So all of those things obviously are on the positive side of the ledger. Again, you know, it doesn't take much to get people to change their tune on this. You've got unemployment numbers. Situations coming up. This durable goods number is supposed to be negative for tomorrow. And although it's for February, so it's a little bit, you know, obviously it's lagging a bit. But, you know, there's enough because of the gap up and the fact we're in this neighborhood of 2865, you know, that's the only reason there would be a little bit of a caution, is a little bit frothy on the RSI, probably a little bit too. And so, you know, basically you got to be on the positive side because of the way the tape is reading. But you always have to have a little bit of humility or else it comes back and bites you.
Okay, thank you, Jim. So you can see my charts?
Yeah, I can see them.
Okay, great. So I'm purely a technical trader. I mean, I did start out more on the fundamental side, or fundamental and technical side, and then I kind of moved primarily to the technical side, and primarily focus on three things when we're trading. Focus on supply and demand. And these are these zones that you see marked out on my charts. And look at price direction and trend on multiple timeframes. With that, we can have a clear picture of what price is doing. So I always like to go from the monthly chart down. The monthly chart, you can see we're kind of right up against supply here. This is where we had this move to the downside. Yeah, we're in a two-leg move. Move here, and then it tried to go up, and then we had this big move back down to this demand area. And now we're coming back to all-time highs. Now, if we go down to the weekly chart, you can see over here that the weekly chart, we have a demand level that was formed over here, and we're still moving to the upside, and we've still got room to move higher to around this level. And if we go down to the daily chart, you can see over here that the market tried to go down here, and we put in a higher low just over here, and we push back up to the upside, and we're moving higher again. So everything's pointing higher for the time being. The only issue is we're at all-time highs, and the market may not break these highs. We may come down again, but we do have demand beneath us, and especially if we go above these highs that we formed over here. We had a big bar down, and we just negated that. So that's why I think high, but with caution, because we're at the highs. It could be that we break these highs eventually. And I think this week we've still got room to move till we get up to that level. So that's why I think higher for the time being. Okay, so let me take that screen off. So let's go over to our next question. So on page 4 of the report, we have the question, what type of trading do you...
Sorry, let me interrupt you here. I just realized I made a typo on the report. That that question on the survey was actually, what types of trading do you specialize in or focus on, and how did you come to that decision? So,
all right, so I have that. I actually updated it.
Oh, okay.
So I saw the difference. I thought maybe you gave me a generic one, so...
Oh, no, that was my typo.
So. No problem. I think okay, so this question, thanks, David. So this question is, what type of trading do you specialize in or focus on, and how did you come to that decision? So let's start with Mark.
Well, I run a live trading room every morning. We trade the NASDAQ and we trade crude oil. And what I really come to focus on is day trade. And it's obviously it's purely technical. There's no fundamental component when you day trade. And I just feel that I have a lot of control over what I can trade and what I can't trade. I want to show projecting this chart. This is a short trade I took this morning that made 10 and three quarter points. We just have a very, very well formatted platform that does a multi-time frame assessment of everything. Now you can use it to date the swing trade. And I have another trader who does swing trade the Forex using the same platform. But I really like to trade very volatile instruments like the NQ. And this is a break of a pivot and a run down. Up here was a break of the open price and a run up. So really, I think my area of expertise is one thing. Over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, it's gotten tougher. I mean, institutional money now makes up such a substantial part of all the volume in most of these markets. You have to be really ultra cautious. And our bottom line is what we're trying to do is track the direction of institutional money and get on board right behind.
Okay, thank you, Mark. And go over to you, Jim.
Yeah, the options, obviously, most people are well aware of, have many uses. So the thing that attracted me decades ago on them is the way you can use them to create cash flow with probabilities that are somewhat favorable or can be favorable. Obviously, there's risk on the sell side of these things. But, if you sell a put on a stock that's trading at 180 and you sell the 150 put, if it rises, there's a probability there. If it goes sideways, there's a probability there. And if it declines, there's a probability there until it takes out the 150 strike. So there's some sell side strategies that make it very interesting to me. None of the strategies are right for everybody. Leverage, limited risk leverage. I mean, there's, if you can pick the right direction and you can get limited risk leverage, that can be a very valuable way. But mostly what I like about them is the hedging tactic, because by using certain strategies like collars, married puts, etc., there are ways of bracketing or putting parameters around your risk. So the reason I was attracted to options is there's so many different ways to go. And I came from a basketball background. So the sport of basketball, as you can see from March Madness, can go in many directions, and there's many decisions to be made out there. And the guy who makes the best decisions and executes obviously can come out on top. And sometimes a little luck doesn't hurt either. So that was what I was attracted to the options is so many different ways to use them. And if you can use them effectively, there's some decent rewards out there along with the risk.
Okay, thank you. So I primarily am more market-based, as in reading the market-based than anything else than fundamentals. And that's kind of my edge in the market, is being able to read it under any circumstance and know what the odds are based on the price action alone. I started out on trading a New York specialist system whereby we were taught to read the tape of the New York Stock, the specialist on the New York Stock Exchange, by understanding the prints going off on the time and sales and looking at the open book and the level two to basically understand what the specialist was doing. And since they had access to all the order flow, and then we would just kind of follow along with what the specialist was doing. So if the specialist was buying, we'd be buying. Specialist selling, we'd be selling. But what happened was when the New York Stock Exchange went hybrid, part computer, part human, the system that we were trading no longer worked, and it was kind of back to the drawing board. So primarily, I decided to base my trading on a timeless concepts of supply and demand. And supply and demand is what drives momentum, what drives trends, what drives everything in the market is the imbalances between buyers and sellers. If there's more willing buyers at certain price levels than willing sellers, then you can identify that. It doesn't matter what instrument you happen to be trading, whether it be options, whether it be futures, whether it be Forex, whether it be equities. It makes no difference. If you can read the chart, the candlestick charts primarily, then and know what the odds are, then you can trade anything. So that's basically what my edge is in the market now. And that's how I approach everything. To understand that price moves between levels of supply and demand, sometimes primarily that it trends between those levels. And all trends mostly come to an end in areas of supply and demand on the charts. So we always say that the trend is your friend until the bend in the end. And that bend in the end is usually where it hits an uptrend, say supply zone in the market. If you can identify those levels ahead of time, then you have a distinct advantage of over anyone else who can't do that. And if you can do it on multiple time frames, then that's even more advantageous, because sometimes you might seem to be in demand on, say, the hourly chart, but you're hitting against a daily supply level, and that may not be the highest probability entry to your trade on the long side. So it's understanding price structure and understanding the context in which it's happening. So you can have great price structure in the wrong context, and the probabilities decrease. So you need to have price structure in the right market context to give you high probability trading ideas. So again, we start kind of from the market first, and then you can develop whatever strategies you want in order to take advantage of the odds in the market. So I'm primarily focused now. I was primarily a day trader. So I do day trade, and my kind of sweet spot, what I make money on these days, is swing trading. I find it requires less time, less need to kind of stare at the charts all day long, and you can basically do it in an hour or two a day. That's all you need. Okay, so let's move on to the next question. So we're going to go around and we're going to ask everyone for a trading idea that you'd like to share with the audience. So let's start with you, Mark.
Or a specific type of
ideas you have in, you know, anything setting up at the moment, any ideas, any trades you're looking at?
Well, I can tell you about a unique trading opportunity that I'm doing a lot of work on. I just want to make sure that would lend itself to answer this question.
That's fine.
Does that work?
Yeah,
okay.
That's
because
fine.
What I've done, okay. I mean, these are really, really unique trading opportunities, and I've been spending really inordinate time on 5 or 6 miles away from the University of Miami School of Medicine. And I've always been very interested in looking at stocks. You know, it's public information when a small biotech company gets a date for a phase 2 trial of its medicine for the FDA to give it either its approval or denial. So what I've done is I've put together a team of professors there, one in cardiology, one in gastroenterology, one in oncology, and one in immunology. And what we're going to do is look at all of the medicines that come up. Most of them are very small biotechs. They're worth a buck. I mean, we traded one recently that was 7 cents, that went quite high. And what we're doing is we're coming up with a percentage approval, the likelihood of an approval. And if the approval is extremely high, we're going to take the trade. And that's really what I'm focusing on. I mean, that's a new service I'm offering. I know I'm plugging it, but really those are the trading opportunities that most traders are not cued in on. And if you have some information about the medication, you can make an enormous amount of money, not the original analysis. And it really has to come from a team of experts. And that's really what we're looking at right now. And we just recently inaugurated the service. If you're interested, you can just give me a call about it. I mean, I hope that's a good answer, appropriate answer to that.
That's fine. If you have any trading ideas or anything that you're looking at this week particularly, and want to share it, then
I do actually. I keep a watch list, and the market is going up. But I'm very, I really am very, very cautious about it. I'm really looking at options positions on stocks that are really more defensive. And I'm looking at stocks like Starbucks, Abbott Labs. I think, you know, they're nice uptrends. Crown Castle International, the ticker CCI, Entergy Corporation, ticker ETR. They're very defensive positions. I think, you know, they move with the overall market, but I'm really not interested right now in running any back, because, you know, I believe one stiff breeze can tip it over and it can try to fill that gap. So I think if you're looking at anything right now, I think it would be defensives that are really making nice, defensive sectors, looking at stocks that are really in strong uptrends, like the ones I mentioned.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Let's go over to you, Jim.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One, on a short-term basis, you have to keep an eye on the oil sector. You know, stocks like ConocoPhillips, Chevron, XLE, XOP, you know, these are things that will participate, should participate if we break out on oil. And last month's high in oil already got taken out this month. It seems to be a pretty good base at $55 a barrel, and Brent is up at 69. So we're in the 61-62 range. And so if there's going to be legs to that, that seems to be something that's starting to emerge. And those are some of the things that might participate if oil's got a further run to it. So that would be one sector and a couple of different things out there that you could take a look at. Most exciting thing to me right now, and I wanted to make this as clear as a bell, is that we've had about a 17% jump in the S&P. And I don't think there's more than about 5 or 6% more left in it on the upside before the winds of change could low. And of course, it may very well coincide with the sell in May and go away scenario. So I would keep an eye and keep my powder dry. And I'd like to see this fish run. You know what I mean? If you ever go fishing, you got to let the thing run and then you reel it in. So the bottom line is that going up to 2950 to 3000 could certainly be in the cards. The Fed is on hold. And I think that's getting very much priced in. In fact, the 10-year note going from 3.25 down towards 2.25, I'd even argue that even half a percent cut might have already been factored in. And then, of course, the VIX is a key. You're in the 13, 14 area on the VIX, and yet yields have collapsed as people ran into fixed income. So that relationship is weird, which means if that was smart money who ran into fixed income and drove those treasury yields down, then the VIX at some point coming up is going to have a major advance to the upside to go up and meet that drop in yield. And if in that fact happens, the only way the VIX is going from 13 to 25 or higher is with a correction. And if we do get a correction off of 2950, 3000, going down to February's low or March low between 2680 and 2725 might very well be in the cards. So on a short-term basis, to sum up, the oil sector certainly looks like it might be having legs. And on a little bit of a longer-term sector, the juice that has taken us up here may very well run out of some steam this month. And so I would be monitoring 2950 to 3000, and I would be looking for patterns and formations that might indicate exhaustion up in that area. But again, that's just my view.
Okay, Jim, anything you're looking at particularly this week?
Well, like I say, on the oil, I did mention that I was looking at ConocoPhillips and Exxon, as well as the XLE and the XOP. So if this move, we already again made a new monthly high over last month in oil. So the momentum is clearly to the upside. Brent is up at 69. So these things have not really bursted above their resistance, but it looks like they're trying to. And like I say, if we're going towards 70 on oil as we go into the summer driving season, then these things would more than likely, the diversified oil people would more than likely be able to benefit from a rising oil price, if that's the way it's going to go. And that's the way the tape is showing us right now.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%, Jim. I'm going to share my charts again. And interesting, you mentioned oil. You should see my oil chart. I'm looking at oil futures here. And we've been bullish oil since down here. And since this bar on the monthly chart, see the price action here, this bar, this put in the low, yeah? So at the moment, we're moving up. And we've got a little bit of kind of supply above us, but it's looking likely we're going to get up at least to the 65 area. And see, if you look on the weekly chart here, you can see this is the last area of demand maybe become supply around this kind of 60, around here it's like 63. But if we look on the daily chart, you can see we've just broken above this area, is what you were mentioning before today. So the next real area of interest is around here, around this area, and then potentially up higher. So it seems like oil's moving to the upside, and we could make it back up to 75 again. I mean, if we go way up and potentially take out the highs and go even higher. There's a lot of sideways action here. Went sideways quite a number of months. And this is usually, I mean, the price action here is usually, this is a move that kicked off. And it's, if you notice, interestingly enough, the move kicked off with a big bar. Notice that. And then we've got smaller bars. Usually the way tops are formed is you start with small bars and you get a big bar at the top, as in as the kind of momentum, or we exhaust the move. And then kind of that's the top. Moves that start with big bars generally, that, you know, this is the bottom. So this is probably going to be the bottom for oil for a long time. And we're slowly moving up to the highs. Now, another very interesting one I want to share with you, and again, this is anyone that looks at cryptocurrencies, we're going to look at now at Bitcoin futures. Now, this is very interesting because it looked like it was, let's go down to the weekly chart here. And if you look in this, if you look over here, what happened? This bar again put in the bottom. Yeah, this week put in the bottom for Bitcoin, and it came back down to this area and gave nice buying opportunities. We talked about this in our trading room, that if you wanted to buy Bitcoin, this is where your risk is very small and potential reward is very high. And you can see it's edging up. Now, let's take a look at the daily chart, and you can see we're coming into kind of supply here. And if we can get onto the other side of this, and that's what I was saying today in our trading room, then Bitcoin could run back up to the 6,000, to this area, to kind of the 6,000 area and potentially higher. So this may be a good trading opportunity if Bitcoin's able to go above this area. We've got a nice clear run, what we call a tradable void, on this drop down to go back up to this area. So this is the area where we drop down. And we pointed this out way back when, that this was going to break to the downside. And it's exactly what happened. And you can see it more clearly on the weekly chart. And it's a very important kind of pattern that you need to be aware of. And I want to share this with you. And maybe you can take something away. The viewers can take something valuable away. And we've mentioned it before. And I think I mentioned it before this actually broke down. And maybe you have to go back a number of episodes. Look what's happening to the price action here. And again, if you understand how to read price, you don't need anything else. The price tells you what's happening. Yeah, the price is your leading indicator. So you can see we come down to this level here and we bounce. And then we come down to this level and bounce. And we're saying all along that it's going to most likely, you can't say 100%. Remember, trading's probabilities, yeah? You don't know anything 100%. But it's most likely maybe 90%, or I even said 95%, that we're going to break to the downside. And this was a very nice move to the downside, a big move down until we reversed over here. And you can see what's happening. So if you explain it like this, every time you come down, the market bounces up. It's a bit like a ceiling, a roof, a ceiling above you, and you're in a room. And every time you jump up, the ceiling drops down lower. And you jump up again, the ceiling drops down lower. And you jump up again, the ceiling drops down lower. Pressure's building up above you, and beneath you, it's getting weaker. So which way are you likely to break? To the downside, yeah? Because the force is on the top of you. So if you understand how to use price action and price, then you can see ahead of time that this is most likely to happen. And that gave a very nice trading opportunity for those who are trading Bitcoin futures, or Bitcoin, or actually any of the cryptocurrencies. They all kind of went down with Bitcoin during that period of time, and now kind of slowly edging to the upside. It's kind of a weak move up, but I just wanted to share that with you. And we pointed that out maybe in a number of weeks ago probably months ago on the Timing Research Show. If you go back and look at the archives, you may find when I said it's highly likely to break to the downside as a trading opportunity. And now we've got another opportunity, as we said, that if it goes above this area, we have a trading opportunity on the upside. And we also have one down here as well. Okay, so let's move on to the last question, where we're going to go around and everyone can give their closing thoughts, anything that you want to add, what's going on with your company, with your website, anything you want to share with, any offers that you have on at the moment. So let's start with you, Mark.
Oh, okay. I appreciate it. Listen, I just want to dovetail back a little bit to a couple of the stock picks, because I am also very bullish on the energy sector. And there were a couple of stocks that I wanted to mention. One is Cypress Energy Partners, and it's a stock that does pipeline inspection that I think has a lot of upside potential. The other that actually lays pipe is called All American Pipeline. And the third, I'm just bringing it up on my ticker here, is one of my favorite, is Diamondback Energy. So those are the three plays I like.
Excuse me, Mark. I don't think everyone heard your second pick, Mark. I don't think anyone heard your second pick because you cut out. Could you repeat the second pick you had?
Okay. Yeah. Hang on one second. I got to go back to my my ticker here and get it. Hang on one sec. Because I have them on my. Hang on one sec. Okay. Here we go. The second pick is Range. I'm sorry, here it is. Here we go. The first pick again was Cypress Energy Partners, and the second pick was Plains. A is an apple. Then that's a pure stock that I recommended was Diamondback Energy. And that's my favorite pure play on in the energy sector. Because I really agree that not only am I bullish on crude oil, I'm bullish on energy infrastructure. And from what I've read, there's a problem of getting enough pipe and enough pipe inspected. And those are the first and second picks that I made. And I think I also like Range Resources. That's a natural gas play. And I think that investor should take a look at Range Resources. As far as what's going on with the company, really, it's really what I had said maybe a little bit prematurely. And that was, you know, we've gathered a stellar group of brilliant medical people. And we're looking at the approval of compounds going to FDA approval in the phase two position of the medicine. There's one being evaluated right now for the treatment of status epilepticus. It's a problem that has absolutely no cure. And we're giving that a very, very high likelihood of being approved. So, I mean, that's a new service that we're offering. I mean, if you're interested in taking part in really small biotechs that can really beat a path higher. And then if I can just stand, what happens is if you get in at the bottom.
Mark, you're
face approval.
Yeah. Mark, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Your sound is really bad. Try just turning off your screen share to see if that helps.
Oh, sure. Is that better now?
Yeah, that sounds clear.
Okay. What I was just mentioning is there's a medicine that's up for FDA approval next month for the treatment of status epilepticus. You know, it's a major medical problem. There is absolutely no treatment for it. It's a very high likelihood of approval. The company that's marketing is only 25 cents. So it's likely to fly on an FDA approval. And then what I want to tell you is that we call it triple dip approval for phase three. And then we look for its approval for its NDA, which is its actual okay to be marketed to the public. So we can go into these stocks three times on a phase two approval, phase three approval, and then on an NDA approval. I mean, that's our most recent service. And if you're interested, you're more than welcome to give me a call here at the company. We're rightlinetrading.com, www.rightlinetrading.com. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. So let's move over to Jim.
Okay. Well, at the risk of repeating myself a bit, again, in the short run, the energy sector and the oil sector do look like there's something cooking there. And again, on a seasonal basis, going into the summer driving season, you know, sometimes they try to goose us a little bit, right, and raise the prices as we need the energy a little bit more than we do in the dead of winter when everyone's home because they're freezing their buns off, right? So, again, you know, these are some of the things that I see on a short-term basis is watching the momentum in oil and see if, in fact, it can actually sustain above 60 and make a run at 65, which we talked about a little bit earlier as well. But again, what I'd like to bring to people's attention is what I believe to be a maturing situation. We've got earnings coming out, and at the end of the day, you know, these stock prices have to be backed by something. And so the earnings, I think, are going to be very important, and the guidance, of course, very important as well. You know, if the Fed's next move is an ease, you know, that's when they started to do it in 2007. So, you know, if the Fed starts easing, you know, I don't know how bullish that is. So be careful what you wish for. And then, of course, we've had a big rally, 17% this year. And again, I think it could be another 5 or 6% to the upside, which takes you right around that $3,000 number, plus or minus 50 S&P points. And the seasonality, I think, is running out. And higher oil, you know, is not going to help the consumer situation because more of their money would go to energy, which they all need to put in those cars, despite autonomous vehicles and hybrids and everything else they talk about. So if you add all that together and then you throw in the VIX being at 13 or 14 with a total disconnect on the drop in yields, it leads me to believe that you're cutting bait right now to get ready for what could be, you know, some kind of a turning point after the next leg is done. And the Elliott waivers that I listened to, they thought it could make a run to 2,800, but then they raised their target to 3,000, 2,950, which I think it looks like the market wants to go to. And then they were looking for some type of a rather large pullback, a two wave to the downside, something along those lines. And so if I add up all those ingredients, I'm trying to find a place after this run is done where there's a formation that would give me an idea on how to get on board on the sell side and take advantage of what could be a very overbought, over-optimistic, and overvalued market. And then, of course, as we were talking about order imbalances, you know Tom, Dick, and Harry are all buying into this thing because you don't go up 23% on the stock market without buy orders. And so if Tom, Dick, and Harry is all in and we hit May or June and it's not really following through, then the opportunity is to get a little bit on the sell side before Tom, Dick, and Harry want out. Because if this thing does roll over, I don't know if the buy volume, if things were changing for a reason, would be able to hold up 3,000 on the S&P with the backdrop of where the Fed is, with the backdrop where earnings is, and where the backdrop of seasonality and everything else. So short run, oil, a little longer run, cut your bait now, keep monitoring this thing, let the baby run, and then when the legs get tired in May or June, you might have a heck of an opportunity on the sell side.
Okay, thank you, Jim. So let me share something with the viewers here as well. If you want any more information about Tradesmart, feel free to go to my website, tradesmartforex.com. It's over here. And you can sign up over here, put your name and email address in, and it will send you a short video around 15 minutes long, which will teach you how to build a profitable trading strategy of your own, what components go into it. Again, very important step-by-step, what goes into building your own strategy. We have a live trading room where we run every day. We prepare on Sunday for the week ahead, putting our supply demand zones on and coming up with a game plan for the week. And then each day we start trading, usually around 7:30 a.m. Eastern time before the U.S. kind of market open, the Forex market primarily. And we trade basically for an hour a day in the trading room. And if there's opportunities, we take them. And you can see us put into practice what we go over in the planning session on Sunday, and you'll see the market most of the time move off those levels. So we also have a YouTube channel over here, and I put out a video of where's the dollar going next once a week. I was thinking of actually coming to an end with that because we've been running it quite successfully now for the past 2 years, over 2 years, and it's been pretty accurate. So feel free to, you know, go to my website, click over here, it'll bring you to the YouTube channel. And also if you sign up here, you'll be on my mailing list, and we usually do free webinars once a month, and you'll get mailed about these events as well, like the Timing Research Show and other multi-speaker kind of events that we take part in. Okay, so that's it from my side, and I'm going to pass back to David. But firstly, I'd like to thank Mark and Jimmy for joining me, and thanks, David, as well, for having me again. And it's been great to moderate this time. And over to you, David.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for moderating, Simon. And I guess we had some audio issues this episode, but otherwise, lots of great information. So just a quick reminder to everyone listening, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory to get updates on future shows. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to this or any of the past reports or shows. Be sure to join us too for the next episode of Analyze Your Trade at a new time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So that'll be tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always go to timingresearch.com/live to watch the live broadcasts. Brian Klindworth from Alpha Shark will be on for the first time tomorrow. Also, Jeremy Newsom and Matt Buckley. And I just want to thank my guests again for this episode. Mark Sachs of RightLineTrading.com, Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com, and Simon Klein of TradeSmartForex.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.